I'd like to welcome everybody to the first meeting of the NLA Hams. This is 13 August 16 at about 10:19 local, which is Mountain Daylight Time, or 12:19 Eastern Daylight Time. I have myself, K-I-0-R-E. I'm Terry in Colorado. I also have Wonder Ann, who's passed all her tests and is awaiting her call sign. I have Patrick Foyle, who does not yet have a license. I have Sylvia in Missouri, K0ZY, and I need to talk to you about that, Sylvia. And Bob Cable, Kilo Delta 9, Golf Hotel Romeo. Are there any other hams or people in the conference besides these people?
Well, I can tell you that we have 15 people on the call right now.
Amazing.
And the question is there any more hams out there?
Oh, yeah. Hit star 6 and identify yourself, please.
Well, I guess that's all the hams then. I don't know if you want everyone else to identify themselves, but... I don't know that we want to go through that, but all the hams we have is 4, I think I counted. Was that what it was, plus one waiting for a license number?
Yeah.
Call number?
Yeah, 4 plus Patriot Foyle, who's working on it. I also have
okay.
Ron Pitt. He's not on, but he's working on his out in California also. So
okay.
I wanted to
right.
just, yeah, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, okay, go right ahead.
Okay. I wanted to just lay out on the website, there is a place for the committees of safety, and there's one for hams, and I should have been there already, and I don't know why I'm not. I had a window saved, and it seems to have disappeared. So let me make sure it's there. Okay, on the COS website, Committee of Safety website, which is right in the center of the blue banner on the National Liberty Alliance HAM site, there is a down below the main stuff at the top, there's a Committees of Safety documents. Below that, about the fifth one down, is the HAM flyer, and I printed it off, and it talks about a few things. One is the a modified wilderness radio plan called the 333 radio plan, which sounds very good, and also a set of prepper and survivalist stuff hits the fan frequencies for two-way communication. That includes FRS, GMRS, PMR, MERS, CB, VHF, and UHF ham frequencies, and some Landsar VHF and Marine VHF. These have all been recommended, and John would like to go that way, and I think it's a good place to start. As we modify it, we can update or turn in updates so that the ham flyer can stay current, but there we go, we have it. I welcome input. NLA Hams, this is the first meeting. So we don't have every little thing worked out, but we have a general guidelines to start putting stuff together. Certainly we want to be able to disseminate information similar to a regular ham net and be able to get information. Everybody needs their license to be listening, especially on HF radio, for these announcements. If anybody has a good low-cost ham radio band or all-band listening radio that's worked well for them, it needs to have a discrete frequency readout so you can be right on and not have to search for it and miss the first few minutes of whatever you're looking for. We can start laying out when we're going to do this, who's going to be with the speaker, especially John or whoever's conducting the meeting, and be able to put that meeting out on the airwaves so people can listen without relying upon the radio and the conference call stuff that we've been relying upon. We are trying to get all this together, and certainly we'll need hams in every place so that people can listen. It might be that you have one ham that listens and can invite several people over at the appropriate time to listen until they learn enough to where they can listen on their own. For anybody to contribute, they need one of two things. They either need to have their ham license so that they can announce that they want to talk, or two, they go through a ham and what's called third-party traffic. That's when a ham communicates with another ham carrying traffic of a third party. So one ham that is transmitting is one party. The ham that's receiving could be all of them is the second party. And the third party is the person who wants to talk. But the ham has to remain in control of the station. This is all on the assumption that the FCC remains intact and that we will be abiding by FCC rules, which we will do until there's a time when the FCC is no longer in effect. I don't know when that time is, but it's way down the road, and I just want to leave it at that. So, transferring what John conference calls or NLA conference calls seem to be to a ham radio venue tends to bring up some issues, i.e. you can only talk for 10 minutes at a time before you have to at least give your call sign and allow other people to get in the queue. Somebody has to be writing. The queue is not maintained on the screen like it is with the conference call. It's that I have to write down the call signs of the people that wish to talk and then give them the opportunity to talk. And we also have to be sensitive to the idea that when somebody else is talking, you want to give release the press to test and be willing to let somebody else jump in because they have more information, and then let the net control give you back. Now, those are all things that need to be discussed as hams, and I would highly encourage you that you can get one of these ham radios that John has talked about, the Bofang radios. They're a little bit difficult or cumbersome to program. But if you can get on some of your local nets and listen, that makes really good hearing. That will be a really good practice for what kind of what we need to do on the radio. It's just a little bit different. John, that's about what I had to cover. I was okay. Going to allow some discussion now, but I'll turn it over to you since I know you have some more agenda. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. Well, you brought up quite a few issues, and a couple of them we want to try to see if we can get a resolution for. And if we can't, it's something that we can take up for discussion, or we can also discuss it at a later meeting should we not be able to conclude today on an answer. But two things I want to focus in on, and we spoke a little bit about. Let me ask you a question. You referred us to a website. Was that our website we were looking at, maybe the COS page or something?
Where yes, that was the NLA COS page, and about the
okay.
fifth one down in the documents is the ham flyer. I want to at least
okay,
get
yeah, I see it.
That.
Right. Okay, yeah. There's the ham flyer there, and that's pretty good information on that. Okay. Let's see. One of the main things we want to do is, before we talk about setting the radios as far as the channels or memories, whatever we want to call them, and I think for the purpose of the the common Joe, we'll call it channels for right now. Of course, when we get into the specifics, they're actually frequencies, I guess, and calling them memories, I presume, means to get stuck on a memory. I'll be corrected if I'm wrong or something, but you're stuck on a frequency, and you want to give it a memory in your unit. I presume that's the logic behind that. But, correct? Okay. But for the purpose of the layman, so to speak, let's talk about channels. All the other communicational language, I think we want to kind of stick to the ham language. You know, we're not broadcasting, we're transmitting. Each one of these channels is a frequency, and we'll use the normal language. But to discuss the basic radio itself, people understand the word radio and they understand the word channel and they see there's 128 channels and it's called channels on the radio. So we'll use that. Now, as far as speaking on this, I was thinking what we're developing is anybody who wants to ask a question or something of that nature or make a comment, I think they need to be speaking to their committee of safety chairman or some other identified individual within their county who can then relay the question or the statement they would like to make or whatever to whoever has the ability to be the ham, whoever the ham is in that county. If there's more than one, it could be to any of those hams who could pick up on it and say, well, we've got a question here from this county, from Joe or whatever, and we could do that. But the meetings in an emergency is not really going to run too much as the way they are today. Today we're in an educational mode, then we'll be in an emergency mode. And the emergency mode will, of course, encourage from time to time the education of all the other things necessary. You know, we want to continue an education of history and common law, process of courts, and whatever it is that people are interested, also the political processes and how things work and how the Committee of Safety came about, all those other things. It's the responsibility of somebody within, and I'm thinking maybe this is also the Committee of Safety, the Committee of Correspondences, responsibility. I don't know whether I said Committee of Safety, but I meant Committee of Correspondence Chairman. But anyway, I think it will be that person's duty to appoint someone else within that group of the Committee of Correspondence, which is, again, inside the Committee of Safety. It's a chair on the Committee of Safety. And there may be 2, 3, 10, 20 people involved in the Committee of Correspondence within that county. And people can be allotted certain jobs, certain duties. And one of the duties, of course, might be to, and it may be a couple of people working together, to download as much information as possible, the important stuff, off of National Liberty Alliance. So we can continue our educational processes, and when they have the meetings, this information should be available to people. Hopefully we'll have some electric, and people will be working off of at least battery electric and working different ways in order to charge their batteries. There's lots of different things that could be done there. So, but people can bring in their into the meetings. They can bring in a memory stick, and they can actually put it onto their computer. Or they can request the hard copies of a particular thing, and hopefully we have the ability to be able to make hard copies. Someone will with the electric and so on, depending on the grid being down. We have no clue on how bad it's going to be when the time comes, but we better prepare for the worst and hope for the best, because that's the best way to do business and to be able to survive. People are not used to the things that are about to come down. We're used to electric. I mean, I recall numerous times living sort of out, and well, I'm kind of in a village right now, but I've even been out further into the sticks. But even being here in a village, we've had electricity down for as long as 2 days in a real bad storm some years back. But generally, electricity go down for a couple hours. It seems to always happen in the evening, at least wherever I've been. And it's the time when you're home and you're kind of working on things or relaxing, maybe watching the boob tube or whatever, and you discover how boring things are because you don't have electric. It's pretty serious. So we're going to have to get used to something like that maybe, or maybe have an electric maybe 1 or 2 or 4 hours a day. I don't know where we would be able to do certain things. Will it get that bad? Oh, I think it's going to. Hopefully we'll have some electric, but, you know, again, I don't know. Just picture, we could only imagine. We've never been here. This is uncharted waters. We're not talking about a collapse of the economy, you know, some kind of a major problem like we had back in the 20s and the 30s and so on. We're not talking about that. We are talking about a monetary collapse. And so you have to understand what that means. The whole world stops. The whole United States stops in a monetary collapse. It comes to a standstill. Now, I don't think it's going to happen overnight. Again, I'm looking, trying to discern on what might be, but it could. I just don't know. But from looking to some of the other people that are talking about this and listening in there or there, which are much more educated in the area of economy and how things work with the monetary systems, it seems like there's going to be a time period you move into what's called the tsunami effect, which means certain prices start to go down. That means it's like the calm before the storm, or the water drawing back before the tsunami gets here. You know, all of a sudden it's all dry out there. There's no more. Where's the ocean? You know, and then it's all of a sudden it comes back on you like a wall. That is kind of a picture of what we're looking at, and the drawback really is representative of the fact of certain prices going real low, and certain things that would kind of drive the economy. Or give the economy, feed the economy the ability to continue a little better. And they've used this kind of thing during recessions and things. But and this is by controlling the cost of fuel, particularly gas. Okay, gas prices will start to plummet. Okay. Also, the values of monies itself, as far as the real money, the gold and the silver and the copper and the nickel and so on. And that is just a panic or a prepared sort of an adjustment of the economy by those people who are in charge or control the economy. So they control these prices. Now, these prices shouldn't be able to be controlled that way, but they are. And the only reason they are is because of, you know, we have inflation. And all of that inflated area is the part that they can make the control in. You get right down to the bottom line of value, there is no controls there. You know, it is what it is, and that's what you got. But there are no depression problems. There are no recession problems in a true economy of gold and silver. And that, of course, is the wisdom behind our founding fathers putting gold and silver being the only money. So the thing is, though, when things start to really start to go down, and we're starting to see that, I think we're starting to see that. I haven't been paying attention to the metals, but I certainly, as a consumer and someone who runs around a lot, I've seen the gas. And gas is down in my neighborhood to $2.20 or $2.29. I mean, that's almost unheard of in the past few years. I mean, that is the lowest level since quite some time now. And I've been watching it steadily go down. I mean, not too long ago, we were at $4.85 a gallon. It was costing over $100 to fill our tanks. Now we're down to about 35 or so, or 40. So these are warning signs. And the date right now that is given to us, which is given, it's called D-Day on the international level. It's called D-Day for the dollar. And it's September 30th. And that's at that point, I think what we're going to see is the rising of prices, the water starting to rise, the tsunami wave coming in. How long it takes to actually hit the land and really start to do some serious damage, that's the big question. Do we have 30 days after that? Do we have 3 months? How much control can they have over the people? You know, look at most things really is a mindset. Reality is the way one perceives it. I've learned that a long, long time ago. And that's why the courts have a reality that's run by fiction, because people believe it. Well, it's the same thing with the dollar or anything else, if you can convince the people. You know, I remember when we had this big, back in the Reagan days, when they had this big fall in the market, and people started to panic and stuff, and they caught the president walking out and was talking with him as he was walking, you know, about the economy, the news media asking him questions, and he was walking from one place to another, I don't know, but probably from the White House to get on a helicopter or something, if I recall. But in any event, that's unimportant. But he's walking, and they ask him a question. And we see the panic going. I remember the days myself and the people concerned about the economy and the panic with this big drop and the news going into all kinds of frenzies. Okay. And Reagan, who had this certain ability to calm people down, and people believed him. Everybody, you know, Reagan seemed to have been a guy that people believed. At least that was my perception. And he said, no, it has nothing to do with the economy. It's just a repair. You know, there is no problem with the economy, is really the main remark he made. And that seemed, from my impression of what was going on, it seemed as if that kind of, you know, relaxed a lot of things. And, of course, we did rebound from that and so on. They're very good at adjusting cost factors to be able to control the economy. But they are having a problem right now. And when I say they, I mean those people that really own this world, so they think anyway. They control all the money and literally control most of the countries. And one way or another, they control them all. But, you know, the control of that has been... They've had a pretty good way of dealing with and controlling things. But the big problem was the foreclosure. It wasn't the foreclosure. That foreclosure may be on the 20th, the 30th. I don't even know what to call these things. But on May 28th, what happened was the debt was due, and we couldn't provide for it. So at that point, we go into a foreclosure. I think that foreclosure might be represented by September 30th. And again, I'm outside of my realms of knowledge here, so I'm kind of taking some guesses here, but that's how I'm kind of seeing it. So something's going to happen, and we know what it is. Ultimately, they're trying to move us into martial law, which is we become now a prisoners of war. That's what it means. People need to understand what this means. Going into martial law for our protection is ridiculous for anybody who thinks that that's what it means. Any of these local governments that think, oh, this is an important thing, we need to do it to control the people. No, that's bullshit. No, that's a lie from hell, because going into martial law is ultimately bringing people into under control as a conquered nation. Martial laws have only been set up in conquered nations. It was done during World War II. That's where we kind of get the understanding of what martial law is about. Okay? Last thing, why would we want to put everyone under the control of a military system? Of course we don't. And that's the point. We the people are Americans. Let's roll up our sleeves. Let's work together. Let's have compassion. Let's do what's necessary. Okay, but get moving from that. Getting back to the point, and the point is that the grid will probably go down, and you got to try to figure out what that means. We're not going to really know till we get there. I say let's prepare for the worst case scenario. Let's realize that the worst case scenario could be, if we don't get enough movement on the COSs in order to prevent this from being a drastic situation for everyone and a living hell, literally, a third world living where our children will grow up more often homeless and without parents than most. And, I remember seeing pictures of children in the street, just they've lost all hope, little babies, and fear. We even put some of those pictures into some of our, information. What was it, a presentation for the, I'm not sure which one it was for, but it might have been for the judiciary side of things. But in any event, that's not where we want to be. That's not what we want for our posterity. We want our children to have what we have and have it better. And in this time period, we could make it a very safe landing if we want. I want to go back to Kennedy on this. A revolution is coming, a revolution which will be peaceful if we are wise enough, compassionate if we care enough, successful if we are fortunate enough. But a revolution which is coming, whether we will it or not, we can't affect its character. We cannot alter its inevitability. And that was President JFK, and it was repeated by Robert Kennedy back in, I think it was 68, right before he was assassinated. National Liberty Alliance is JFK's peaceful and wise and compassionate plan. And we will be successful in affecting to that inevitable revolution, we will be successful in effecting that. And so we the people do indeed stand at the precipice, and we do want people to learn of us. They need to look at us. A lot of people have shied away from NLA because they think this is too much judicial stuff and they're not capable of understanding. And if you can't understand the judiciary, you can't have liberty. It's not for you to have. It's not possible. You can't have it. Liberty is all about natural law. Okay, it's all about that. Without it, you can't have liberty. So, unfortunately, people have been brainwashed into different directions, and they shy away. So a lot of people have run from us for that. Some people have succumbed to the idea that we have been captured or whatever, and we're bringing different things, or that we're the enemy or whatever. A few in those cases, you know, we have people because they believe in the man on the land thing and that kind of stuff. And then, of course, there's a lot of propaganda out there just to say we're terrorists, don't go near those people. So you put it all together, you know, a lot of people do avoid us. We need to get the message out. And it only takes them, it's a very simple thing to sell them, is just say, well, look, give us a half hour, an hour of your time. Go on the front page and see what's going on and see what we really are doing. And then you start looking for the bad stuff that people are telling you. You go look for it. Start digging around. See if you can find it, because they're not going to. Because we have nothing but the truth on our site. We have not been captured. We have a free mind. We're free thinkers. And we're moving forward, and we're making a difference. And we do have the ability to make this a very soft landing. We have the ability to maintain control of many things, including electric and fuel and food and water, and uniting the people and bringing them together, but only if the people step up, because only the people can save America. But the people must step up. They must get these committees of safeties. They must set up an emergency situation, communications, and that's where we are with the radios. So in the time when we come together to speak on the radios, it will not necessarily be about education, but it'll be about information. And a particular county may want to get the word out to the surrounding counties, or want to get the word out to the surrounding county, all the counties in this state or across the other side of the world. And that will be the purpose of the NLA meetings. And probably we're going to do this at 7 p.m. Eastern time is probably when we're going to be doing it at an emergency system. We'll have to figure that out yet. And we will broadcast every day, and basically just getting the information of other committees of safeties out, what's going on. We could discover if there's violence going on and how isolated or how large it is, and we can report to each other. You know, in the meanwhile, we will have hams working and talking together throughout the day with the counties next door or with counties across the state, working things out on their own also. But we want to be a place of information, a collectivism of all the information that we get out to the common person who's got that radio and is tuned in to a particular place where they can get this information on a daily basis. So I don't think anyone is going to be talking per se on a over the air that's not a ham operator. I might come on, and maybe a few other key individuals might come on for a short period of time, but that'd probably be very minimum. Again, we're going to be focusing in on how we need to share the information concerning the emergency that we all share, because it'll be a national emergency that's at hand. So that's what we need to set up. Now, the questions come, and if that is the case, hopefully that will settle the problem of just anyone keying in and talking, because they shouldn't be. It's not going to run as a regular meeting. Again, education is going to be the responsibility of the committees of safety within their own counties to get the necessary information. Particularly, you know, they need to learn the courses. You know, anybody who goes through the courses, you download the course at the end of it. You get a downloaded copy, okay? And that could be shared with anyone when the lights are out, so to speak, you know? Okay, the
John,
other thing...
Don Levine, Oakland County, Michigan here. I have a question for you. I apologize I joined the call late. Mm-hmm. But I just want to make sure for what you're trying to do here, that, and I'm sure you have hams more capable than me on this call, I would imagine. But it's just I heard you talking about the Bofangs, which are a 5-watt radio that goes 2 to 5 miles maximum. on a good day, depending on the antenna you're using. So I would hope that you're envisioning that you are going to be high frequency capable, that you'll have at least one person in each state high frequency capable. The ideal thing would be to have every COS high frequency capable, but if there's only one,
that's our plan. No, our plan is to have a ham operator who's up and running in every county across the nation, and in most cases that's pretty much set in place. We just need to connect with those hams, and I'm sure, you know, because they're into the emergency process, they will connect and fuse very quickly to the Committee of Safety. I'm convinced of that. I can't picture any ham being approached by an organization like a Committee of Safety within their county planning for the downfall of you know, within our nation economically, through the economics alone. We don't need to talk about the other stuff on why other things, what's really going on. We just need to be talking about the emergency that's coming to us on the economic side, the monetary side. But in any event, yeah, that's already part of our plan. And these radios, we're not only offering the 4-watt, we're also offering the 8-watt. So, but go ahead.
Okay. You understand the difference between high frequency and 2-meter communications, I assume.
Well, I don't understand much of it, but I do understand that if, as long as we have repeaters all turned on at the same time, and I'll call them repeaters, I don't know, if every ham that is with the Committees of Safety, and let's say we've got 3,142 counties in a nation, let's say we can get 3,000 or 2,500 counties really well organized, okay? And if that is the case, if we can get a couple of thousand counties organized, and they all turn on the ham operators that are working with the Committees of Safety and the Committee of Correspondence particularly, they'll be on that board working with the Committee of Correspondence, when they come tune in at 7 o'clock, I'm presuming they now become a repeater for everyone in the area to be picked up on these 4 or 8-watt radios. Is that not correct?
That's not correct. No, a repeater is a dedicated piece of equipment that's set up to do just that function. And for what you're trying to do, if you're going to rely on repeaters, think about it. You're talking about a grid-down scenario, and you want to use
repeaters?
Okay, well,
I'll tell you what. Let's do this. Hold on, because you're outside of my... I don't have any relationship of the conversation as far as knowledge to be able to really respond to these things. So let me finish what I have to say, then we'll put it over to Terry, who is a ham operator. And this is the purpose of this meeting, is to discuss the particular problems on how we can make sure that all the people that are on these smaller radios, these 4-watt and 8-watt radios, how it is that they can pick that up. How do we solve that problem? That is what we're going to talk about. That's what Terry's going to talk about, not me, okay?
Okay.
Let me just finish my side of things, and then I'm going to pass it back to Terry, which I'm almost done. I wanted to really give a good picture or scenario of the fact that, you know, we all need to be really in one place, focused in to be able to listen and get communications. Communications is one of the most important things that we have to be successful in any kind of a campaign, whether it is a defensive or an offensive campaign. We need to have communications. Very first thing that the enemy does when they go in to destroy the enemy, the very first thing they do is they shut down communications. They do everything they can to block and stop any communications so the right hand has no clue what the left hand is doing, and then they can take them down one by one. They demoralize them and then other things. But first thing is communications, supply lines, okay, and then demoralization. I think those are the three major things. And that's what they're doing to us now. So that's what we're trying to prevent. We're trying to make sure we have the supply lines. This is what the Committees of Safety is all about. We want to make sure that we have the communications. This is what the Committees of Safety is all about. We want to make sure that they can't demoralize us, because united we stand and divided we shall fall. So if we're united, they cannot demoralize us. And if we're united, well supplied, and communicating, we will win. It's that simple. And it will be that peaceful and compassionate, what would I call it? Well, a compassionate revolution. We don't want to be controlled at the end of a barrel of a gun. We want to control ourselves and be peaceful and be compassionate to those people who have not They come into our towns and our villages, and they're looking for food and water, and we need to accommodate them. No one can be turned away. That's why we would have chaos in the streets. They want chaos in the streets. They want military patrols. They want people roaming the streets and killing for food and water. They want that stuff because it's more demoralization. It's more destruction. It's more chaos. And the people are more willing at some point, please do anything. Just stop the chaos. We'll submit. Yes, we'll do it. And the masses will. The masses will if we allow that to happen. It'll only be the 3% or whatever that will not, relentlessly will not give up. Anyway, however all that works, I just want to get into the two things, okay? and that is to make sure that we can communicate, and how we're going to technically do that, which again is a conversation outside of my realm. I'll be a listener on that. And the other thing is to understand the channel systems and what we're going to set up, and if it makes sense to where we'd want to put the CB bands and the CB radios. So those are the two things that I'd like to really focus in on. I'd like to ask Bob if he wants to step up and give us some more thoughts and where we might want to place the CB channels on the these units. Bob, can you take up the mic? Star 6 to unmute. Anyway, do you see Bob out there, Jan? Looking for Bob Cagle. Let's see if I can find him. Bob Cagle, you out there? I know he was on board before. All right, I don't see him right now. All right, so let's move on to the next step here. Let me go back now to Terry and pass it to you. When we get Bob back in, we'll try to
Hello?
Talk with him. Bob, you here?
Hello? I'm
yeah,
here.
Go ahead. Okay. Hey,
yeah.
what do we want to do with the CB bands, you know, the radio, the channels? Do we want to do something on the tail end or what?
Well, that's one of the things. The portable radios, CB bands down around 128 megahertz, these radios that you are utilizing for the portable, the VHF only works from 136 to 174. So we will not be able to pick up CB on the portable units because it's below where we pick up. Okay?
Right. Okay.
CB is down around 128, if I'm not mistaken. Correct me if I'm wrong, Terry, but I think that's where they're at. And these radios, both the Bongfang 5R and the high-powered one, they both operate on the exact same frequencies, 136 to 174, 400 megahertz to 520 megahertz. So you got your 2-meter band and your 70-centimeter band, or 20-centimeter, I'm sorry. So we're really locked in on these portables with those set of frequencies. And
okay,
just to make everybody on the same page, what Terry was saying is true. There's 128 channels of memory, each radio, but they do have the AB for channel and frequency. You can switch between channel and frequency. On the radio, it will say channel. It's got a little voice that talks to me, channel 1, channel 3, channel 5, whatever. And if you want it on the frequency, then you just hit your little button and it'll tell you the frequency. So you can switch between channel and frequency. But on the radio itself, it does say channel. But Terry's right. There's 128 memory slots. So I would suggest we just keep it at what the radios say. But now as far as what the gentleman was saying earlier about the repeaters, there's a thing that's called a gateway today that when you talk to your ham operators in your area, like I'm a member of the Porter County Amateur Radio Club, we have a repeater here that we can hit that when you hit it, it's a gateway. It goes into a fiber node, okay? Actually, the Internet, I'm sorry. It goes into the Internet, and it can pop up wherever you want it to pop up. Now, this is something that we can set up, but what the gentleman was saying earlier is correct. If you just, with a group, that just has a local only repeater, and it doesn't really talk to anybody else. Yeah, you're locked into that. But there are gateways out there that we can utilize. It's just a matter of getting talking to your amateur radio clubs in your area. That's what's important. That's the key to everything. You know, you got to get involved with your local group. All the ones that's got their hands out there, I'm sure you already know this, and the ones that's just getting their license is very important. Just do a search for your local amateur radio club. And they will, what, believe me, everybody I've met are really good people. Now, they do have an auxiliary ham group out there that's not as friendly because they're really sticklers for the rules. And that's why it's so important that, like Terry was saying earlier, you follow what the FCC say, because there's people 24/7 that just sit all day long and monitor these frequencies. They just scan through waiting for somebody to say something so they can bust them. And that's what they do because they're very into their amateur radio. They don't want people out there messing it up. And they will turn you in fast. I'm not lying. So anyway, that's about all I got to say on the radio.
Let me ask you a question, Bob. You talked about really trying to go through gateways or set up a system so that we can communicate. And also,
right.
There was something else I wanted to ask, and maybe you can do a. Maybe you, because you talked about making contact with ham operators within our own communities, within our counties, and
That's correct.
You know, basically what they're called, association of this or that, whatever the names you had given. Again, I'm not familiar with the language, so it's kind of all new to me. But maybe you could write a short paper, something as short as possible.
Sure,
that,
absolutely.
That we can give, we can post up on the Committee of Safety for the Committee of Correspondence chairperson for them to take and to help them to know where to go and what to do to make contact with the ham operators, where to find them within his community or her community or their county or whatever. And it sounded like that information that you had given, if you can kind of put sort of a short paper down, and again, where people can learn from, then we'll settle up on the Committee of Safety for the Committee of Correspondence. Okay?
Yeah, I can do that. But it's real easy. Just type into your Google search or whatever search you're using, just type in your county amateur radio club, and it will come
well,
up.
Well, those people listen to you right now, today, or right here. This is a small group, okay? But, okay, we got it. But we have hundreds of thousands of people
will,
we need to get it to.
I will do it, John.
Okay. All right. So that's one thing. Now, it's okay, so we're going to drop out the CBs, and anybody that wants to – it would make sense that people have a CB, by the way. Matter of fact, in my brain, I'm already thinking I'm going out to buy a CB radio. Maybe we can find find and offer a CB radio also, Bob, or is that something we should just...
They're out there, and there's...
us to post up on our site to sell.
Yeah, I'll start working on it immediately. But I just want to reiterate one thing. These are these little pocket radios are very inexpensive, and they work very well. Now, if you want a home unit, they do a whole lot more. Now you can get down into some of your longer wave stuff. You can start bouncing stuff hundreds of miles. But these little radios here are not designed for that. Okay.
Okay.
So if somebody's wanting to
do a real high,
right. I mean, you can get some radios out there that are very powerful. I mean, but you got to have a nice little array to bounce, let's say, to California or something. I mean, you got to have a pretty good antenna out there. So, and it puts out a lot of power.
We'll let the people look at the people who get deeply involved and start to become hams and
exactly.
They'll learn and figure and go start going buying that equipment, and
God
bless them. We need as many of those people as possible. But meanwhile, we have the common people, and even not the common people, people like you and Terry, I'm sure would still have these little radios because they're handy and easy to carry around. And
You
can
run,
when you're running around
in
a car or something. You know?
I take them every place. I take them with me every place I go. Because I ride a motorcycle, so it's kind of hard to, put a unit on my bike. So, I mean, if someone's got a car, they can put a nice little unit in their car. But,
So let us plan on offering a CB, get something that's reasonable that, I remember when I had one, they were pretty cheap way back when, and I think it was back in the 70s when they were really, they were big for quite some time, but at my time, 70s and 80s, I remember having a CB radio, and they were pretty cheap, and it was really great to be able to drive around and listen to what's going on. The truckers are just an ocean of information, because they're traveling and they're telling about what's going on, what they passed, and where they're heading to, and you know they're passing information constantly on that channel, so they're very good. Okay, so let's move from there. We're going to get into that. The other thing maybe you can write a paper on is sort of an introduction to the radio and all the little things you've been telling us about the radio. You know, it's a really good radio and why we decided to use this one and so on and so forth. Maybe you can write another paper on that too. And again, you know, if you just type it up into a word processor and just give it a label, and then we'll get it to Jan and others, and we'll make it look pretty and turn it into a PDF and then post it up for information on the COS page.
Okay, sir. No problem.
Okay. We also will probably post these meetings, however often you guys want to have them, but we want to keep them short. This is going to be a little long today because we really want to cover as many bases as we can. But is it advantageous to have a meeting like this, Terry, on a weekly basis? Is this something you guys would want to do, or is it going to pay off for us, or what do you think?
Oh, I think it's necessary until we get up and working at a decent rate.
Okay. All right, so what we will do is we will tie this information into the COS page, where we will give a link on the page to connect with other people interested in having meetings on communications and ham. And for sure, anybody who has taken the seat of a committee of correspondents should want to be coming to these meetings because they're people involved with communications.
I could, sir.
Huh?
I'd like to take the meeting back if I could.
Yeah, go right ahead. I'm done. The only other thing we need to discover today, if we can, and if not, then maybe a few people need to get together and discuss it in privately, but get back to us ASAP with a frequency for Channel 7. For us. So, go ahead.
Okay.
It's all yours now.
Okay, thank you. All right, there's a lot of things covered. Before he got more than 10 minutes in, by 10:35, we should have broke him. If it was a regular ham communication, we would have. But this is different. This is a conference call. He owns the site. I want to stress that we are communicators. That is what we do. We know how to get the information from somebody's head where it originates to somebody's head where it terminates, and it goes to that person. That person needs the information. We handle the media, the radio frequency. We transfer the context to the people that we need to have it go to, and we also enable people to talk back so that they get the replies, they get feedback on if the message was accepted or whatever. So that's what we're concentrating on. A couple of things, though. The CB radios are 26. They start at the high 26 megahertz range, 27 megahertz, and go up from there in discrete channel particular frequencies. And I want to say that as you become a ham, and all hams, I've got more people right now than I have that are not hams than I have that are hams. And so I want to say just a couple of things. And then I would like to take late check-ins if I could. There are two ways to listen in. You can listen as a ham, or you can just listen in as an interested party who has no way to talk back. If you're a ham, you can do that by either building your own radio or buying one. As a listen only, as long as you're listening only, you can build a radio or you can buy one. I suggest we all buy one so we can start getting on the air, and we'll have people that can get the messages. Until we get settled, until we prove our procedures, I suggest that we have lots of listeners who call back to a central number and say, yeah, I got it. And I think that that would help in the beginning to highlight the people that are getting the messages and that we are passing traffic across radio frequencies. One of the things you find out quickly as you begin to work with ham radio is it's important to take notes. You got to have a pen and a piece of paper sitting in front of you, and you got to jot down things that you want to do. It comes first when somebody is net control that takes down the call signs and who wants to speak, and then gives each other a turn to speak. But also, that's the only way you're going to remember everything is to jot down a note or two that will help you recall everything that was said during the meeting, because these will probably not be copied or recorded. And so we might not have the recorded copies available, and it will be dependent upon one time saying the message, everybody receiving the message, and then the message being delivered to the proper people that need to have it. As far as gateways go, gateways require somebody to maintain them. I want to discourage the gateways. You have a world of hams that can call up a particular repeater and talk to Australia or anywhere else in the world that allows it on the repeater at that local area. That's not exactly what we're talking about, because that is dependent upon the internet, and there's many, many millions of pieces to the internet that have to work right or it doesn't work. And that gateway to go from RF to internet and then internet back to RF in a remote location, those two pieces have to be maintained by somebody. In the ham world, it's other hams who really like it and they want to do it, and it's kind of fun and they like it. That's great. That's the kind of information we need. But I want to encourage people to get tied up with their local ham club, to study a little bit, because a little bit of knowledge goes a long way when you start talking ham radio. And I want to encourage people to not worry about the gateways yet. Worry about getting either a listening radio or a ham radio. Now, if you're going to get a ham radio, you're not going to be able to transmit on it. It's going to be an awful, awful temptation to push that press to test button and transmit. But we don't want to start there. Well, let's start with listening. Now, I put into I use DuckDuckGo. I put in digital shortwave listening radios. Digital shortwave listening radios. I got back a Sanjian shortwave radios at Walmart. There's a whole range of them. I want to, and that's just one. I've got a whole page full of other radios at other vendors. I would encourage you to go learn some of those and pick the one you want. I would also encourage you to not use the first one that came up when I went to the Walmart page for Sanjian has a dial type tuner that has a bar going across in the different frequencies. That's not precise enough, though it may work. It's not precise enough for what we need to do. We need to be on frequency immediately when it's time, not be searching for someone who's only there a few minutes. So I would encourage you to get whatever you can afford, but not one with just a sliding dial like the old AM and FM radios that we've been used to for many years. More like the ones that we have now where the frequency comes up and it's locked on. It is on 850 KOA or whatever the frequency is. You want to be precise. So there's several available. They go from anywhere from $40 or $32, which I don't recommend the two lower ones, to $253 from what I can tell on this one page. If I scroll down, I see some more. One for $303. great radios. They're all good. Find out. Talk to Ham. See what really comes up. That's my main text. Future meetings like this will not be as long, and they'll be focused a little more to ham radio. I appreciate John letting us know to give us the background. So why are we practicing this? We need that. For one thing, when you have a net, though, you take late check-ins. I would like to take late check-ins at this time. Are there any other hams? I know we had one other talk. I did not catch your call sign. I did not catch your name. So anybody that wants to check in, could they please *6 and at least give me a call sign and a name, and I'll give you the floor for a minute. Can we do that, Jan?
Yes, you can, but I see he left. I can give you his name later, okay?
Okay, that sounds good. Type
I don't
in
have
the
call sign. Yeah.
Type it in the sky. I'll find him. Okay, are there any other hams out there?
Yes, hello. Do you copy me?
Yeah, I hear you. Go ahead.
This is KG7, GZH, Kilo Golf 7, Golf Zulu Hotel. My name is Paul, and I'm in Kingman, Arizona.
Do you have any comments, Paul?
No, I tuned in late, actually. I just got the notice for this. From a friend on the other side of Arizona, and I just wanted to jump in and listen to you. I am involved in several nets with other organizations. I run a 2-meter net myself weekly for the Golden Valley Channel 3 project. And we also have an FRS net in the valley for non-hams. We operate on FRS-3 under the Channel 3 project for Amron.
That sounds very valuable experience that we need to propagate here. So I hope that you come back at the next meeting and go a little deeper into that.
Yes, I will. Thank you. I will join after the call is over, and I'll be happy to join in.
And I am KI0RE Kilo India 0 Romeo Echo Terry in Colorado for your benefit. Okay, is that all?
Let me pipe in a minute here. I'd like to make a suggestion that all ham operators, and you might want to bring this up from time to time during the meetings, might want to start communicating with other ham operators to make them aware of the existence or the future existence of what we're doing concerning the committees of safety. So we can start getting those people to be looking and coming online to connect with people on our committees of safety within their respective counties. So that's something we might want to continue to push on as often as possible.
Good point, John. Thank you.
Terry, I just want to interject just real quick. I believe time is of the essence.
Who's that? Identify yourself, please, and go on.
This is Patriot Hoyle, mentioned earlier. Just saying a little bit, keying off what John had said earlier, but with all that's taking place across our nation and the world today, I don't think needing to go into any of those, but those should tell us that time is of the essence. We can delay and put off and say, well, we got another year, we got another 5 years to get this up and going, and we don't know truly we got another month before things could actually happen. And just remind everybody again off what John had said, if you have a radio but you don't have a battery backup system with an inverter or some other means of power, you know, you're still down even though you got the most advanced radio on the market.
Hmm.
So that's just what I'd encourage you about, that we, you know, we need to do more than talk. We need to move, and I feel like we need to move now. And try to even get the county sheriffs to bring in a portion under them as ham radio operators and stuff as a backup system for their comm network as well.
Thank you very much. I want to stress that experience is valuable, and that with RACES and ARIES, there's a lot of ham clubs out there that already have this experience. They already have sheriff credentials to work as communicators for the sheriff's department or for other law enforcement or fire department. And that if you connect with a ham club, you'll be able to tie into all these people, and it's a good thing to do that. So there's lots of ways that people can help, and I want to encourage people to do just what he said, what Patriot Coyle said.
Terry, I got a question. What day and time would you like to continue these meetings on? Is Saturday at noontime a good time, noontime Eastern time good, or do you have something else in view, or when do you want to do these meetings?
I would defer to Jan and you. I don't like Saturday because I hate to chew up everybody's Saturday, but we need to get this done, and that's why I went ahead and agreed to this one. So until we find another place to stick it, maybe it should be on early Saturday mornings.
Well, we'd like to find a time and just stick to it. I've already prepared a place to put these recordings down on the COS page, all the way down on the bottom. I put a little note, and any other kind of note you might want for me to attach to that, you know, let me know. But Jan, what hours do we have available? I know we're booking up pretty much throughout the week, but I mean, what days are available between hours that doesn't conflict with other meetings do we have, do you know?
Well, if we're in danger of going over an hour, we
We don't want. Well, you know what? No, it's good that if they're coming up to an hour, they got to get off. It'll force them off because we don't want anyone to have meetings more than an hour. The initial meeting, we had no choice because we want to cover a lot of things. And I'm not going to be speaking at any of the other future meetings. I'll be a questioner just like everyone else, and a listener. But so it doesn't matter if we got someone plugged in at 9 o'clock or they're at 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock, getting off at 9 o'clock. And we're talking Eastern time here all the time. And they're getting off at 9 o'clock, and then the hams come in at 9 o'clock until 10 o'clock. Either way, it helps to force each other to stick in that hour area. And we've got to make sure that everybody knows that's controlling the rooms, that when a new group starts to come in, people will be collecting as they're finishing off their meeting, and they need to refresh the meeting so that they change the connection,
right,
for the recording. Otherwise, it'll just amend the recording they already started. But anyway, what do we have available that we can offer?
The only night that I have where I don't have a call anyway is Wednesday night. So Wednesday night from 7 to 8 would work, or 8 to 9, or 7 to 8:30, anytime in there.
Those are Eastern
servers. There's a courtroom of servers at 9 o'clock on Wednesday.
Okay, does any of that work for you, Terry?
Works for me. Does it work for everybody else? Anybody want to say anything about it?
Does 7 work better than 8?
I think 8 is better. 8 is better because it gives a little later for the West Coast people.
Right.
Because they're coming home from work. It's 5 o'clock for them already.
Right.
So we'll do 8 to 9 on Wednesday.
Okay.
Eastern Standard. I'll write it up. I've already created a file up on. You use FileZilla, right? To post.
Right.
Okay, I've already created the ham under files, and I'm setting up the page right now, and I'll post the first one today, and then you or someone else will pick it up from here on in to get them posted. Okay?
You want to put it on the calendar?
Well, you can have it put under the calendar. I'll finish the page. It'll be, again, it's on the Committee of Safety page that these meetings will be, because it needs to connect with them. I made the point that the Committee of Correspondence chairman of the Committee of Safety needs to be connected to this, or someone off of that individual's committee should be connected to these meetings to keep up to date and be participating in the plan for the emergency communications during downtimes of, you know, in emergency situations. So, okay, I'm done. I'm going to set that up.
Is there anybody else that wants to make a comment?
Yeah, Terry.
Oh, okay. One at a time. Jan, go ahead.
Don,
go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, this is Don Levine. I'm in Oakland County, Michigan. My ham call sign is Kilo Delta 8 Uniform Tango Sierra.
Oh, thank you very much. You ought to hook up with W8SDZ up in Oakland. I know him well, and I've known him for about 30 years.
W?
Whiskey 8 Sierra Delta Zulu.
Okay.
Look him up. It's Keith Peterson.
And I had just a comment, and it, you know, I guess since this is the kickoff meeting, it's a good place to kind of nail this kind of stuff down. But I envision a system or a network to accomplish the purpose that John is trying to set this up for. I would think that it has to be simplex capable. Coming out to each state by high frequency and then going to each COS on a 2-meter, 50 or 65 watt base station, where then several handheld 5 watt units could communicate with that base station. How do you see this network being set up?
That's a general working theory. I like it. I think we need to go along that, because that reduces the number of people that we have to communicate with on HF. HF is where we're not going to get all the space and time that we want or need, and not everybody will have the way to listen. But I don't want to stop anybody from listening on HF to our transmissions. So I like that idea, and I think we should use that as our working idea, and I think Patriot Foyle discussed it. And, you know, there's several groups that have already gone through the same thing that we're going through now, and they already know what works and what doesn't for them. And I want to say that learning from those groups is a good idea, but we have to tailor it for what the NLA needs, because our needs are going to be different than a lot of other people. So we have to keep that in mind. But you're right, Don. Please use that as a working idea. Let's start going through there. One of the things I want to encourage is everybody get a way to listen on HF. The more people we have listening, the more chance we got of getting the message to where we need to get it to. It's often when radio relay started, that was what did. Everybody listened. Somebody would carry the traffic and get it to where it was going to need to get. The more people we have listening, the more chance we got that the message will get to where it needs to get, where it needs to go. And so we need to have a lot of people listening. As we get closer to, and the committees of safety form, each one will determine their own needs and set up appropriately. What I'm trying to do here is give some people the idea of what a ham radio net looks like and how it works, so they get used to listening and taking notes and how they raise their hand, because it's different than what a conference call is. Also, we need to get people with the idea that a 3-4 minute chunk is a very long chunk, and that they need to unkey and let somebody else give their little piece of information or request to talk, get in line, so to speak, like you do in the queue. All of this needs to be presented to people who have absolutely no connection to ham radio yet, except they wanted to come to the ham class because they wanted to come to the NLA ham radio meeting because they're interested in ham radio. I would encourage every person to go ahead and get one of the books or go down and to the library, get a book, and start reading about ham radio. And there's excellent stuff online at QRZ, that's QRZ.com, and ARRL.org. Those are two big sites. There's many, many others, and Wonder Ann has a whole list she's going to send me. Wonder Ann?
Yes, I was going to recommend, too, that kind of for homework.
Okay, let's carry those across on Skype or some other way.
I was just going to say if they could go to find their local ham club, because they can. Our club here, I learned, meets every Tuesday at a special location, and the regular meeting is just once a month, but the other Tuesdays are teaching days.
Oh, absolutely. So if you go, I agree with that 100%. Please look for a local club. You can look for a local club in several ways. One is ARRL.org, and there's a spot there on that page to look for a local club. Please do so and contact some of these hams. Hams are one of the greatest people that want to share their hobby. So if you're interested at all, there's plenty of ways to get there. And now, I'd like to put out, I am KI0RE. My telephone number is 303-438-9777 or 303-465-3233. Those are my two numbers. Anyone that's interested is welcome to call me, and I'll talk directly to them at any time that I'm here and I answer the phone. Please leave a message. I'll call you back. Any way you want to do it.
Terry, right, I got something to put in here. Let me have the floor just for a minute quickly.
Sure.
We have two papers being written, just so people know. We will be posting that up probably on the radio page as far as, you know, introduction to the radio and some different things. But, you know, I'm hearing some things here that people need to hear and know about, so we need to write certain things down. So any kind of a paper you want to write on a certain subject matter that we can post as in like a one-pager type thing, generally, like, for instance, where people can go to get their ham radio licenses or get more information or to connect into the community or any of those things. Kind of put something together, get it to me, and we'll get it up there on the COS page with the flyer and that kind of stuff. And any other time you have a special paper that you want to put together for communications, for informational purposes that we'd want to post, just get in touch with me. Let me have even the rough copy, and we'll put it into PDF form and, you know, clean it up and put it up there, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Will do. All right. Does anybody else want to contribute?
I'd like to share a free app for your smartphone. It's called Ham Prep. P like Paul, R-E-P like Paul. Ham Test Prep. It's a free download. They have study questions, and then they have sample tests. And you can just keep repeating the sample tests until you think you're ready to go and take the exam. And it's a really great app, and it's free. So Ham Test Prep, if you get that on your smartphone. Terry, could you give that first number out again?
All right.
Terry, could you repeat the first phone number you gave?
303-438-9777.
Okay.
And who was talking?
This is Don Levine, Oakland County, Michigan. And what was your call sign again?
Kilo, India, Zero, Romeo, Echo.
I didn't get the third one. I'm sorry.
Kilo. Kilo, India, Zero, Romeo, Echo.
Okay, thanks.
Romeo, I was also going to suggest the fact that, thanks for that new app, because that'll be current. It's really important that people study the current ham radio information because it has been updated. The extra is different as of July 1st. Oh,
good, Mr. Ann. Thank you. I want to emphasize that we want to be communicators. We want to be able to get a message from the person that needs to the person that needs to go to. Radio is one way to do that. Committees of correspondence are exactly where ham communicators should be. But I don't want to stop anyone from learning ham radio. Matter of fact, I want to encourage them. Is there anybody else that wants to give some input?
Yes, my name is Francis. I'm in Scotts Bluff County, Nebraska.
Yes?
I'm a tech, ham tech with call sign Kilo Delta Zero Zulu Charlie Zulu.
Okay, Francis. Frank, you go by Frank?
I'm sorry?
You go by Frank or Francis?
Either one. Francis is my birth name.
Okay, go ahead. Would you like to input, say something?
Yeah, thank you. I'm an oath keeper and learned my ham skill with a group of oath keepers. Was wondering if there was an interest for NLA for working more closely with oath keepers.
I'll leave that one to John, but it's certainly wherever you get your ham information is very good.
Yeah, and we're trying to make that connection. So, one of the problems we have with the... and we've met with lots of different oath keepers. I'm an oath keeper myself, and and those who look in to see what we're doing understand and realize the need for the connection. Those who haven't looked in but just kind of know a little bit about us, they're more geared. Unfortunately, most oath keepers are coming to the conclusion that nothing could be done. Let's prepare for war, and that's where our focus should be. And I don't want to disrupt that plan and that focus because it should definitely be there. But there should be another side. Maybe we can, do something to alter war. And maybe we could do something to make this a peaceful revolution, as Kennedy spoke about. And so that's what we need to do. So we need to make that connection so they take a twofold focus in on this. Yes, prepare for war, but also prepare for some way we can prevent that war. And we do have, they're not aware of a solution. I understand their frustration. I was just as frustrated. I've been frustrated in this since 1999, since I got into the problems and realizing what's going on. And ever since then, I've been looking for a solution. And I've been frustrated year to year because at the end of every year, I conclude the fact there is no solution. I can't find one, but there's got to be one out there. By God's mercy, we did find one, and this is it. NLA's plan is the solution. And we need people to look at this. And when people come on, we rarely get any kind of an opposition from the perspective of saying, well, this isn't going to work. Once they realize what we're doing and they see the full picture, and it doesn't take much time to see the full picture, but once they see it, yeah, that could work. The question is, will the people do it? Will they step up, and will they do it in time? Just like the Oath Keepers, will the people do it? Will they step up? Will we prepare for war in time? Those are the two big questions for both sides, and we need to keep both in view.
John, can you enable the communications by either having Francis go back or give you a number or you give him your number, one or the other?
Yeah, anybody who wants to make any communications with us in meetings, we're open all the time. We have plenty of phone numbers up on the website. My direct number, which I'm hard to get, but if you can't get me, you can always find one of the national leaders. They got my private phones, and they can get in touch and pull me into a meeting almost any time. But my direct number is 845-233-6560. And once we make contact, I can share my private number with those individuals that we're communicating and trying to get a relationship with. But again, if you can't get me there, you can call Jan, or you can call Gary, you can call Ron. There's quite a few people up on the directory that are in the national leadership. They can find me most of the time. It's rare that they can't. I mean, there are times, but it's rare.
John, I am the president of the Michigan Oath Keepers, and by the way, we're not preparing for war. We are gearing ourselves more towards being a help to first responder communities in disaster-type situations, so he's taken a totally different direction. That's okay. Just a side note. When I heard about this and the NLA trying to set up the ham networks, I was very excited about that, and it is my full intention to, at least for Michigan anyway, to tie the two together through and by way of ham communication. So that is going to be done in Michigan, and that's going to be my goal, because we're just beginning to set up our ham network here in Michigan as well. We're working jointly with Ohio on that task. And so when I heard about this call, like I said, I was very excited about it. So I will be working to that end for the Michigan group.
All right. Well, let me just you know, suggest, I don't know how long have you been are you a member, or how long do you know about us, or what do you know about us? Anything yet?
As far as NLA goes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. If you ask Gary Jolly will tell you that I essentially founded the NLA activity in Michigan. I learned about NLA from a friend of mine in Chicago a long time ago. I brought
okay,
Gary
so you're connected in.
And I've been around for a very long time. So
okay, so you're connected deep enough in to know what we're doing and understand and see that we're real and that and serious people with honor and bringing out the truth and correcting ourselves as we go forward. But we need to find a way to save the nation. We've discovered that, but it takes the people to do it. A small group or me or you can't do it. We've got to get people involved. Got to hit that critical mass. We're pressing towards that critical mass. I watch the numbers grow every single day on National Liberty Alliance. I see what's going on, and we are approaching critical mass. I just don't know when. When we hit that, then game over for the enemy. But let me suggest, and we're all looking for someone, we should have a connection up, or a committee going, which connects the Oath Keepers, an Oath Keepers committee, on our website. And if you would like to maybe chair that or help find somebody to chair that, maybe that will open up the channels to try to get Oath Keepers and get the different chapters coming in, getting involved and participating on this side of things. And again, you know what we're doing, so there's a lot going on here that connects and directly relates to what the Oath Keepers can, should, and are doing.
I'm willing to do that. If somebody, my phone number is 248-705-8565. I am on the website as Oakland County.
248-705-8565. And your first name again?
Don, like Donald.
John. Well, that's an easy one to remember. John.
No, Don, like Donald.
Oh, Don. Oh, now it's going to be hard. All right.
Levine. Yeah. And if somebody, you know, like I don't know, for me, I don't know about changing the website, but if somebody wants to start working with me on that, I can do that as far as Michigan goes. I can't speak for the other chapters, but you know, I will be willing to work, because I'm actually a member of both organizations, and
okay,
I think.
Okay, why don't you connect with Jen? Okay, Jen, you want to give him his number's up on the directory.
Yeah.
He's one of the first numbers.
John, I know Don. I've talked to Don. Don's been here since grass started growing, so he's
right.
A good man.
Yeah, I recall his name coming up in passing conversations, and Gary had brought him up. And I think you introduced Gary to this, didn't you?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I recall. Okay, yeah, you guys make a connection. See what you can build up. Let's see if we can get some other people to work with him in partnership, this committee, and let's get some meetings going and set something up. You know, I'm going to update the Monday night page, make sure we have every meeting going on up there, because it doesn't look like we do, but I'm going to make sure it gets up there. And then we'll look for time openings within those areas, and you could set the meetings up to do whatever you want. All meetings should be less than an hour, except for special meetings, and first meetings might go over the hour, of course. But once you're in your time slot, you're not going to be able to move out of your hour if there's someone else after you. So, but anyway, let's work that out, because that's something we've been trying to really get started for a while.
All right. Also, John, as a side note, I have a Skype message and an email out to you that I need to talk to you about pretty urgently. So.
Okay. I don't see it up on the thing. Did you put something today? Let me see.
I put something up yesterday, I think, on Skype.
Okay.
Don Levine.
Okay, this is, okay, yeah, I gotcha. Okay, yeah, let's talk. After the call, we can talk. I'm going to get on the line with Jan for a few, and then I'll pull you in, and then we can talk, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else that wants to comment on something?
And Terry, I'm going to have, you know, I'm going to probably call you later as well. And
I'd love to hear from you, Don. Thank you.
Just talk some more about how we want to put this together.
You bet. Thank you. And I think what you're doing could be a prototype for all Oath Keeper organizations throughout the land. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
I agree. Me and I am Scott's Bluff. Yeah.
Anybody else want to comment?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. Identify yourself.
This is Dan. I'm from Montana. What was that site to study for the ham again? I'm not a ham operator, but I'm wanting to get it done.
You can go to ARRL.org. And
I got that one. There was another app or something.
Yeah,
I have ARRL.
Was on the cell phone. It was Ham Test Prep, and it's free download with sample tests. And that's on a smartphone.
Okay.
I think Wonderann has another place that she used that was good for her.
Okay. Yeah, I did hamtestonline.com. And the cost of the book and doing their test were about the same. My general cost about 24, theirs cost about 24, the first one cost about 23. So your cost of your book versus just going online and just being able to plug it in and do your work is just really great. And if you have one of those smartphones, which is too smart for me, then you'd be able to just do it at any time. You're available to sit down and do some study, and it was a great way for me to study. Absolutely great.
And if you copy down my phone number, you're welcome to call me, and I'll try and put you in touch with a ham that's close to you
so that you can
talk to him face-to-face.
I just got a pin, so I couldn't get it before. If you could repeat
okay.
It.
Okay, no sweat. Anything else?
I couldn't get your phone number before. I didn't have a pin. Could you repeat it?
Okay, stand by. 303-438-9777. Copy?
Copy.
Major Payne, Buffalo Bill Whiskey,
thank you. And is this recorded?
Yes, it
is.
Yes.
Anybody else want to talk?
Yeah, let me just pipe in here. You're going to find the recordings on the COS page. So up the top blue bar, click on COS, and we're putting the recordings down on the bottom. We created an area down there. I'll post this first one up as soon as this call is over, and then it'll be posted after each call. Also, the details of the timing and information on the call can be found on our weekly call page or our Monday night call page. Just click on that, and you'll see the schedule. You'll see I already scheduled it in.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else want to talk?
Looks like that.
Hearing nothing, do I have any late check-ins? Do I have any hams that have not checked in? Could please call now. Nothing heard, so I'm going to say it's time to close the meeting. Jan, I turn it back over to you. Thank you.
Jan, did you forget to unmute? If not, meeting's over, I guess. We have nothing else to say. I'll just give everyone a reminder that the next meeting will be Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it'll repeat that time every week until further notice. And let's prepare for the emergency. Let's all do our part, do what we can. You know, everybody has their own expertise. Let's execute that expertise in order to help our fellow man and save America here. So. God bless everyone. Thanks for coming.
Have and you okay? You'll take care of the recording?
I'm going to put the recording up right now. All right.
Thank you
very
much,
everybody.
Have a great day, people. Thank you very much.
Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.